You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 4, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 4, verse 1. Everybody in the world's invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. We're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, Truth Social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everyone who comes one by one as the Holy Spirit leads according to his beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. Everybody in the world's also invited to come here every Sunday for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and Truth Social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida, which is in Melbourne, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer, the produce place. The amazing Grace, yes, that's the produce place, is on the corner of Wickham Road and Panita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 1. The nation of Israel, as we open the curtain, is very weak and divided because they have corrupt leadership, not only in the government, but in the priesthood. Now, just because a nation has corrupt leadership, the nation does not have to divide. They could all keep their faith in God and be in agreement, but it never happens that way. Half of the citizens don't love God enough to trust him and go into idolatry, and there's always a remnant there in every nation. The high priest and judge was Eli. He was not corrupt, but he was a weak leader. He made a mistake. He let his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, take over the priesthood there, and they did not even know God. Therefore, from God's heart to my heart, to your heart, Ichabod, or the glory of God. Ichabod, or the glory of God.
Verse 1, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel.
Oh, thank goodness. In Isaiah 59, verse 19, it says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God lifts up a standard. In other words, we've got a remnant. We've got young Samuel there. He loves the Lord, and he knows the word of God. This had to be very refreshing for Israel, because Proverbs 29 says, when the righteous in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. Amen. So there's a little bit of hope on the horizon. Now, he's not in any position there. He's just a prophet, although that's a great thing. He has the word of God. He has anointing. He's a seer, and he's not corrupt.
Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle.
Now Israel decides they're going to fight the Philistines. Who are the Philistines? The Philistines are heathen, but they're more than that. Some of the Philistines are giants. The Hebrew word is Geba. If you remember in Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels, the Nephilim, came in refusing to be born of women in their angelic bodies and went in unto the beautiful daughters of Ethah Adam, the man Adam, and their children were Geba, or giants. Now, God wiped them all out of Noah's flood, but there's a second influx of them, so some of those giants are the Philistines. They are mighty warriors. They're the enemy.
And pitched beside Ebenezer.
Israel pitched beside Ebenezer. That means the stone of help. They were hoping that God would help them.
And the Philistines pitched in Ethan. Verse 2. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel,
fighting them.
And when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines.
Look at that. What happened here? The children of Israel were no longer seeking God. They were smitten.
And they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men.
What happens when the enemy sees that God is not taking care of a nation, he's not revered in a nation? They know that a house divided will fall. And that's when the enemy attacks. Only the nation would stay in the prayer of agreement. Even in Genesis 11, when the people agreed they were heathen, they had power. But the enemy knew they were weak, and so they were smitten. 4,000 in biblical numerics is probation. The nation was on probation. They were being tested and tried.
Verse 3. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today?"
Notice that they said, the elders and the leaders of the people, the Lord had smitten them. Why? Because Hebrews 12, whom the Lord loves, he chastises. In other words, they had a sense that God was letting this happen.
Before the Philistines, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us.
Let's go and get the Ark of the Covenant. There's got Moses' rod, Aaron's rod that budded. It's got the Ten Commandments. It's got the manna. And they remembered all the other times that God had delivered them because the presence of the Lord was in the Ark of the Covenant. But they didn't know that God had left the Ark of the Covenant because of corrupt priesthood. What they were saying is, let's go to church. You should go to church. This whole nation of America should have gone to church when COVID hit. Amen. All one time in every area of life. Because Hebrews 10:25 says, "Forsake not the assembling yourselves together." But when you go to church, you have to make sure God is there. Amen. Jesus Amen. Is the Lord, the head of the church, and the Word is there. But they don't know that yet. They're still kind of hoping that everything's going to be all right.
That when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemy.
It, how about God? Yeah. See, sometimes you think just going to church is going to do you some good. You can go to church all your life and be lost.
Verse 4. So the people said to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God.
Now, the priests there were Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. But the people didn't even ask them to pray because they knew they did not know God. How sad for any nation when trouble hits that you don't have one man or one woman that you know knows God, and you do not seek that person to pray for you. You just think you're going to do it in your own strength. God has a remnant in every nation, some man, some woman, who can get the attention of God. But they didn't know that. They should have gone to Samuel.
Verse 5. And when the Ark of the Covenant came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again.
I'm sure they remembered all the wonderful times, like in Joshua chapter 3, verse 10, where the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, and they came to the Jordan River, and it was flooding, and they held the Ark of the Covenant. God's presence was with them, and the sea parted. They walked through on dry ground. They said, "Boy, oh, hallelujah, God's going to get this flood of lies out of us again."
Verse 6. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What made the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?"
Why are these Hebrew people shouting?
And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp.
somebody said the Ark of the Covenant is there. Now, they had always known that while they didn't believe in God, there was some kind of a God in Israel, and that God was in the Ark. See, the real church is you. Is God in your Ark? They don't know God's left.
Verse 7. And the Philistines were afraid.
They were afraid because they'd heard of this great God. Now, the truth is, a Christian nation, the Christian people in it, whoever they are, should never be afraid yourselves. You should make the enemy afraid of you, because you have power over all the power of the enemy, over scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. But you have to have Jesus in you, the Word in you, and you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But the enemy was afraid of them, but they're not going to be afraid too long.
For they said, God is coming to the camp.
Okay, God's all over you, they think.
And they said, woe unto us, for there hath not been such a thing heretofore.
Why is the enemy saying woe?
Verse 8, woe unto us, who should deliver us out of the hand of the mighty gods?
Little g, plural. Now they are heathen, but you see, excuse me, even the heathen nations of the world recognize that when a nation becomes a superpower of superpowers, is blessed beyond any human being could do, they know there must be some kind of a God or God there. Now, I've heard people say about America, well, America's a superpower of superpowers. That was, of course, before Joe Biden and Obama came along. And it said, but they all got a three-headed God. They don't understand that, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, these three are one. But see, the world would notice that there's some kind of a God in America when we were thriving.
These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues.
They had heard how the children of Israel were in slavery in Egypt, and Pharaoh would not let the people go, that God sent 10 plagues, boy. And I mean, it was miraculous. I mean, we got lice, and we got flies, and we got frogs, and we got blood. They had heard about that. You see, when God is in a nation, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord, and the people only put God first in the government and in the church, all the world realizes that is a miracle. There's a God there.
Praise the Lord.
In the wilderness, verse 9, be strong and quit yourselves like men.
Now, who in the world is this? This is an army general or major, somebody leader there in the Philistine army. He says, men, you be strong. Quit means be a man. You stop being a little wimp here. Let's get up here and fight. See, even the enemy knows there's a time to fight. But Christians will go off and shut up their schools, shut up their churches, shut up their work, go hide in their room because some quacky, quacky, facky said there's a COVID. God have mercy.
Amen.
When
Amen.
You're going to be a man?
Amen.
There's a time to fight.
O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you.
The Philistines had little military garrisons all over Israel, and you might say the Philistines had their boot on Israel's neck, but they said, we don't want to be their slaves.
Quit yourselves like men.
Get up and be a man.
And fight.
And fight. Now, we're told to fight. There's no place in a Christian nation for the Christians to hide away. You fight through prayer, prayer, prayer.
Amen.
Every Christian in America ought to come to prayer meeting when it's Prayer for America, because prayer is the power. Prayer is what moves the hand of God.
Amen.
And you fast and you fight and you put on the gospel armor of Ephesians chapter 6. You put on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girt with truth, your feet shod with the preparation of truth, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. You put on the gospel armor, and you all come together. There's a time to be quiet, and there's a time to fight. And with the nation's attack, it's time for every Christian to come and let's fight. It's not a physical fight. It's spiritual. Demons and rulers of darkness in high places. So we fight with the Word of God, with prayer, with fasting.
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 10, and the Philistines fought, and Israel was smitten, and they fled every man into his tent.
Look at that. Israel ran. The first thing you do as a Christian, you do not run from the enemy. Most of you, when you get a bad news on your job, your business, your body, your doctor, your family, the government, you kind of run and hide and cry. You're supposed to run toward the enemy because you have the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit. Amen. We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
I love 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Three evil heathen armies were coming against Judah, the good King Jehoshaphat there, Moab, Ammon, and Seir. Jehoshaphat prayed to the Lord. The God said, the battle is yours. You and your army, Jehoshaphat, good king there, you march toward the enemy. And the battle is the Lord. He said, you just start singing and praise the Lord. So the good King Jehoshaphat and army said, praise the Lord, his mercy endures forever. And all of the enemy were defeated. What if in COVID, everybody had prayed all over this nation, all at one time, television, radio, media, news activities. And what if we'd all praise the Lord?
Amen.
We would never have gone through this.
Amen.
And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen.
Three, no matter how many zeros, is a trinity. God the Father, Yahweh, God the Son, Yeshua, Jesus, God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ruach, Elohim. Now, God did not kill them, but when a nation rejects the Lord and throws the Bible away and makes other gods their God, like money and fame and beauty, God's protection is moved. The great eagle takes his wings away, and then you are a target.
Verse 11, and the Ark of God was taken.
The Ark of God was taken. Now, in 1962, Madeline Murray O'Hare was an atheist, and she finally got prayer removed from the schools in America. But she met at Waterloo because an atheist killed her later on. In 2003, the Supreme Court subpoenaed the Chief Justice of Alabama, Roy Moore, and said, you're breaking the law because you got the Ten Commandments in your court. So they took away the Ten Commandments. They took away the prayer from the school. You can't even say the name of Jesus in a political arena. A nation has no hope when Jesus, the Bible, are gone from the nation.
Amen.
We're going to use a word for that in a little bit.
And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were slain.
God had given Hophni and Phinehas a long time to repent. They'd been in there, but they would not repent. Sometimes the leaders' hearts are so hard, they won't repent. But God finally says, enough is enough. God does not put up with it always. Not only evil, corrupt government are going to die, and I mean spiritually die unless they repent, but the evil leaders in the church who are not preaching Jesus and the Bible, they're going to be done away with.
Amen.
Going to be like the fat of a lamb on a spittle, going up in smoke.
Verse 12, and there went a man of Benjamin out of the army and came to Shiloh.
Now, this is an Israelite. He's of the tribe of Benjamin. He does the right thing. He was in the army, and he goes to Shiloh. He goes where the church is, or the temple. He goes to where he hopes God is. That is right. The first thing that happened in America, somebody should have called the real church leaders in America. No show, no money. Holy Spirit, Jesus Lord, Bible book.
The same day with his clothes rent and earth was upon his head.
He was fasting for the nation. Again, Proverbs 29. When the wicked bear rule, the people mourn. There's a time to fast. I've been fasting for America. I hope you have.
Verse 13. And when he came, lo, Eli sat upon a seat by the wayside watching.
Now Eli's a high priest, that he is not corrupt. The seat there was at the judgment seat where they would come, and he was a judge also, so he could handle everybody's issues. He was in his right place. He was in the right place at the right time.
For his heart trembled for the ark of God.
Eli loved the Lord, and he loved the presence of the Lord. He loved the ark of the covenant.
And when the man came into the city and told it, all the city cried out. Verse 14.
They were crying. You know what God says? I'm looking for someone who will sigh and cry for the nation.
And when Eli heard the noise of the crying, he said, what meaneth the noise of this tumult?
Why all the noise?
And the man came hastily and told Eli.
I love this Benjamite. He doesn't have a name. He did the right thing. He saw the nation was losing the battle. So he ran to the man appointed by God in God's place there, Eli. He went to the Christian, God-fearing man of God. Of course, Christ wasn't born yet, but that's what you should do. You don't go to Fauci scientists, you don't go to China, you don't go to Liz Cheney, you don't go to Mitt Romney, you go to the man or woman of God.
Amen.
Verse 15. Now Eli was 98 years old.
98 years old, but that was not old. It's not old now, because Genesis 6 says we can live to be 120.
His eyes were dim that he could not see.
But he was blind. That's not fun.
Verse 16. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out of the army, and I fled today out of the army.
I ran.
And he said,
Eli said,
what is there done, my son?
What's happening? How's the battle going?
Verse 17. And the messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there have also been a great slaughter among the people.
34,000 Israelites murdered.
And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead.
Ouch. Eli knew that was going to happen. Remember in chapter 2, the man of God, the prophet, had told him that, but it still hurts.
And the ark of God is taken.
Now that's the hardest part for Eli, because his job was God. He was about God's business, and the Ark of the Covenant was all about God. Now, this is going to really result in distress.
Verse 18, and it came to pass, when he made mention of the Ark of God, that he fell from off the seat, backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake.
That was too hard. He died of a broken heart.
And he died, for he was an old man and heavy.
Heavy in a negative sense means stupid and thick, but that he wasn't stupid. It just means his heart was broken, heavy-hearted. He knew all was lost. When the Ark of the Covenant was gone, God was not there. Any nation without God has no hope. And now our God sent his son, Jesus. Let Jesus be the Lord of the nation,
Amen.
The Bible, the book,
Amen.
And the nation can be saved.
Amen. And he had judged Israel 40 years.
40 is probation. Nation on probation failed.
Verse 19, and his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered.
Now Phinehas, the one who's just been killed, his wife is pregnant, and she's about to have a baby.
And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed.
It was too much that caused the labor pains.
For her pains came upon her.
Labor pains.
Verse 20. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, fear not, for thou hast borne a son.
Now, usually this is good news, because every woman in Israel wanted a son, because the seed line would continue.
But she answered not, neither did she regard it.
She was not yet dead, but all hope was gone. Not only her husband and father-in-law, but this woman knew that God had left the nation. There's no hope.
Verse 21, and she named the child Ichabod.
Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. Ichabod means the glory of God has departed. There's a positive word, Shekinah glory. It means God is present, but he's not present there.
Saying, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God was taken and because of her father-in-law and her husband. Verse 22, and she said, the glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken.
Now, there's a little light here at the tunnel. God always has a ram in the thicket. Samuel is going to be raised up here to be the prophet, and he's going to be the last judge of Israel before they select a king. And he's going to lead the nation to repent. So there's still hope God is going to come back to Israel. And of course he did, because Jesus came through that nation. Now, Ichabod, the glory can depart from a person, from an educational institution, from a business, from a territory, or from a nation. In the early 1800s, there was a person called Karl Marx. His father converted to Christianity and joined the Lutheran Church. At age 6, Karl Marx joined and was baptized in the Lutheran Church. But he turned against God, became an atheist, and formed Marxism. Communism, socialism, Marxism. They want the government to totally control the people. No families, the government controls the families and the people. And communism, socialism, Marxism are all together. It's horrible. Ichabod on Marxism. Okay. In educational, in America, our wonderful Harvard University was founded to train the clergy to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord have mercy. Barack Hussein Obama went to Harvard. To win the election, he said to the people, I'm a Christian. I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. So a lot of the Christians were deceived and voted for him. He didn't say anything about that until he was voted the second time, and his true colors came out. He said, I've changed my mind. Marriage ought to be between a man, a woman. And so the same-sex law was passed in America, and that's an abomination to God. I do not hate you. I had a whole school full of these one time. I love you individually, but God says that's an abomination. The nation's coming down. And Barack Hussein Obama said he is for abortion, not only in the womb, but after the baby comes out. He said, lie it on the table, and if the mother still wants the abortion, just kill it. Lord have mercy. Ichabod Harvard. Ichabod can be written over businesses. Because America was founded as a Christian nation, that cross was put up by the pilgrims there, one nation dedicated of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We've had a lot of Christian businesses. We got Wendy's, we got Hobby Lobby, we got Chick-fil-A, we got Walmart's. We got Scott versus the Produce Place.
Amen.
Now, some of these are still Christian, but some of them, Ichabod's about to come. One of them has gone politically correct and said they will pay for the employees' abortion. That's not Scott versus the Produce Place. That place, no Ichabod there, the Shekinah glory there.
Amen.
Ichabod can be over a territory. In all of these riots that happened a couple of years ago, in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Portland, Oregon, Ichabod, the glory departed. Churches were burned down. Businesses were burned down. Homes were burned down. People were killed, and there was no law and order. Ichabod, Ichabod, Ichabod. And Ichabod can go over a nation. In the early 1900s, Russia was an Orthodox Christian nation. They had beautiful cathedrals. Don't forget the Russian in the book of Genesis is Edom, and Edom is Esau, Jacob's brother. But in the early 1900s, about 1917, they destroyed all the cathedrals. They turned the cathedrals into granaries. And communism, socialism, Marxism took over Russia, Ichabod. Now, you as a Christian, could Ichabod be written over you? You're even hearing the word of God. Yes, it could. Here's your test. Where is your passion? Jesus said in Revelation 2, go back to your first love. Are you going through the motions of being a Christian? Do you take up more time on your cell phone and your job and your family than Jesus? Anything, anyone that takes up more rent-free time in your mind than Jesus Christ, you are looking out for Ichabod. He must be your first love. Prayer must be your first love, your passion. If you knew the power of prayer, it's communion with God. You couldn't wait to get here on Wednesday night. You'd quit your job to come. You'd do something else. You'd be here, and you'd be praying. Oh, the passion of Jesus, the passion of prayer, the passion of the anointed Holy Spirit. You couldn't wait for him to speak through you in his language. The passion of winning souls to Jesus, the passion of going to church. You can't wait to be where God is, the Holy Spirit is, where you're going to hear the good news. Passion, passion.
Amen.
So what do? You confess, you've grown cold, you repent, you stop it, you come back to Jesus, be filled with the Holy Spirit, surrender your life to him. What does a nation do to erase Ichabod and bring forth the Shekinah glory of God? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people call by my name will humble themselves, that means fast, and pray, and seek my face, not my hand, Jesus, and turn from your wicked ways. He's talking to the church, your wicked ways of lukewarmness, of not praying in the Spirit, of not winning souls to Jesus, of not having the passion, of not making a difference. God says, I will hear from heaven. I'll forgive your sins, and I will heal your land.
Amen.
Ichabod, all the glory of God. It's your choice. I pray you are blessed.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place, which is Longo Ichabod. My twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. I'm doing very well. Thank you.
David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. Psalms 145:20.
Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you very much. Great, Scott. Before I pray for healing, let's get anyone who's lost saved. If you're not saved, pray this prayer with me. Mean it, and God will save you right now, all over the world and in India. Here we go. Dear God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Dear God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent.
I repent.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Wash away all my sins with your precious blood.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
And use me.
And use me.
To win many souls to Jesus.
To win many souls to Jesus.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now for all of you in cyberspace, the book of Romans says that you need to tell someone with the mouth confessions made to salvation. In a little while, Scott will give you my telephone number. I invite you to call that number and leave your confession there. You also may email me your confession. My email is shari.medlock@gmail.com. Again, shari.medlock@gmail.com. The G is for God. So, all of you who are saved, now you want to find a church where they teach the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line, where they are filled with the Holy Spirit, operate in the gifts of Holy Spirit, have deep prayer meetings there, 1 Corinthians 12, operate the Holy Spirit, and where the presence of God is there. You want to go on Sunday, or if Saturday is your time, that's okay. Jesus nailed the Sabbath to the cross. And make sure you go the midweek because you've got to grow. You may call God Father now. Father, in Jesus' name, by the Holy Spirit. Pray to him all the time. Find one time every day to find a place to pray. Read your Bible and grow in grace. And God bless you and welcome to the family of God, the welcome family of God. Now, I'm going to pray for healing. Everyone in here and all over the world, I'm going to let you participate in your healing. Okay. Wherever you are hurting, put your hand on that place if it's not private and you can. If it's private, put it somewhere, okay? The reason is Matthew 18:19, Jesus says, if two or more agree as touching anything they ask on earth, my Father will give it them. So you want to touch that part. Now, Isaiah 53:5 says, with Jesus' stripes you are healed. So touch that part all over the world, your word here. Okay, it's very simple. Here it is. Heart, lungs, pancreas, liver, gallbladder, left kidney, right kidney, hips, colon, intestines, esophagus, brain, ears, gums, teeth, neck, throat, backbone, spine, left shoulder, right shoulder, all intestines, stomach, bladder, right foot, left foot, toes, feet, legs, knees, hands, arms, thighs. In the name of Jesus, be healed. With Jesus' stripes, you are healed. Amen. Everybody say, with Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
With Jesus' stripes, I am healed.
Now, it's easy. Jesus said it. He's not a man that he should lie. You touched and you agreed. You agreed and I agreed. So it's done. Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
All of the world we say, I agree in Jesus' name. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I am your second best friend in the whole wide world, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. No greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friend. I love you too. And all over the world. And in here, I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Christmas would just pass her by. Nothing could reach her or answer her questions. Why? She feels so alone. She wonders if all hope is gone. Hope is a candle.
Oh, come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye, oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come. King of heaven.
Christmas is coming, the bells are ringing, hope comes alive as music fills the air. Christmas is for children, and I believe it's true. Can you hear the season calling to the child inside of you? Awaken from your slumber, come see with younger eyes, and be taken by the wonder that took the whole world by surprise. Christmas is coming, the bells are ringing, hope comes alive as music fills the air. I hear the drumming, it won't be long now. Christmas is coming, will you be there? Christmas is coming, will you be there? They're dressing up the city in a brightly lighted gown. They're singing in the streets whenever Christmas comes to town. So let the spirit find you wherever you have been, and bring you to the child who makes us children again. Christmas is coming, the bells are ringing, hope comes alive as music fills the air. I hear the drumming, it won't be long now. Christmas is coming, will you be there? Christmas is coming, will you be there? Before, like the innkeeper who missed the wonder right outside his door. So open up your heart as Christmas passes through, just in time to wake the child asleep inside of you. Christmas is coming, the bells are ringing, hope comes alive as music fills the air. I hear the drumming, it won't be long now. Christmas is coming, will you be there? Christmas is coming, will you be
there. Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
No cry.